The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
Tom, it's Will Cain. Nice to meet you.
Hiya, Will.
I hope this doesn't come across as gushing, but I'll just start out with, we've got Blue Bloods fans, we've got National Review fans, we've got fans of every sort of your career, but in a way, I feel like the biggest fan involved in this is probably my late father. I will tell you, Tom, he had the Aviators, the Hawaiian shirt, he had the red sports car, he had everything, so I'm excited to be talking to you today.
Hey, that's really great. Thanks. It's always nice to hear. You have no idea when you find out you reach people in the way you described. It's just gratifying.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you today, but let's start with this. I find it fascinating. You reached out to us. You reached out to ESPN. The passing of Detroit Tiger legend Al Kaline really clearly moved you, and you wanted to talk about it, and I find that fascinating. Why was this such an important moment for you that you wanted to speak on it?
Well, look, when I opened the paper yesterday morning, I was, you sometimes know people or know of people. I am honored to say I got to know Al Kaline, but certainly not in boyhood. He was, and frankly, he is my hero, certainly my baseball hero. I think from boyhood to yesterday, and I think beyond. I just I was so influenced. I was from Detroit and moved out in 48 to California. My parents got in the car and went out there, and I was a Detroit fan because we didn't have the Dodgers or anything, and we went back to Detroit every summer. And now Kaline, just something about him that I know my dad was a huge fan of his, and there was just something about the way he played. And there was something about a sense of modesty, which is, that's why I think I say he'll kind of be my idol and continue to be, because I think it's refreshing when you see an athlete who displays modesty that was as gifted as he was. So, yeah, it was a really big deal, and bigger because at a certain point in my life, I met him when I was on one of our trips to Detroit, the family get in the car and drive back from L.A. for a week, and I got to get in a Tiger locker room. I don't know how that happened, but and I met him. I met him and Harvey Keene, a bunch of people, but meeting Al Kaline was just a really big deal. And so later on, when I was preparing for a movie, Mr. Baseball, I talked to Sparky, who I had met, and I think I'd hit with the Tigers once or something for preparing for that. And he said, well, why don't you come to spring training? So I went to spring training for 2 weeks, which is like a dream for a kid who grew up in Little League and everything else. And Al was always around. So basically, the first morning of spring training, Al Kaline comes up to me and says, I'd met him, but he says, you want to warm up with me? So I played long toss with my boyhood idol, Al Kaline. And it was just something about the way he conducted himself. There was no bragging, no nothing. I'm sure he had a lot of self-confidence, but I don't think you'd ever see Al Kaline flip a bat, which one of the reasons I'm talking about him, I wish we had more Al Kalines and fewer bat flippers, to be honest.
You talk about meeting Al Kaline. I've read the stories when you were prepping for Mr. Baseball and you got to go to spring training.
Yeah.
The guys made a point of welcoming you into the locker room, and Al Kaline took part in that a little bit. Is that right?
Well, he wasn't the stuffed shirt. I mean, he was a regular guy. I mean, that's why so many players, apart from his abilities, related to him. So, you know, I was pretending to try to be normal. I think my locker was next to Lloyd Mosby. And I actually was kind of flattered because the Tigers, you know, if they don't like you or they think you're you're fully yourself. They're not going to pay any attention to you. But they kept doing stuff to me, so I figured I was accepted as a rookie. They were putting heat rub in my jock strap, and I got to the point where I was, every time I got dressed for the day spring training, I was smelling everything I put on. And the Al comes up, and he pulls up a stool, you know, and I knew him by then, and a little, and so my boyhood idol starts talking to me about spring training and the batting practice the day before, and every time I looked around the room, he'd get my attention again. Well, and I noticed the guys were all looking, but I said, well, look at Al Kaline. I'm accepted by him. That must really be impressive. Well, what they'd done, and they all knew, is there's a product called Skin Lube, which is a salve that you put on blisters, just a little bit of it. Well, they'd filled my shoes with them. So Al's talking to me so much, and he's got my eye that I had to get dressed to meet the time. So I stuck my foot in a shoe full of Skin Lube, and everybody laughed. That was great. There's another story. I never see it, and I found it really interesting. My first night there, I went out to dinner. Sparky asked me to dinner, and I went out to dinner with Sparky and Jim Campbell, a former general manager. And I said, after we were talking about all sorts of things, I said, there's a story. Maybe you can tell me it's true, or maybe it's just a myth that's grown up. Because in the era when $100,000 was the big number, and players negotiated their own deal, well, Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays were making $100,000. So Al Kaline goes in, supposedly, to talk about his new deal, and they proudly say, look, Al, you're as valuable to us as Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. I hope I don't get all emotional now. This thing always gets me. And they said, you're as valuable to us as Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays. We're going to give you $100,000 next year. And Al Kaline said, I don't want it. I didn't have a good enough year. Next year I'll hit $300,000. You can give it. And I asked Jim Campbell, I said, is that story true? He says, yeah, it's true. And then Al wouldn't let me tell anybody. And I got all this bad press for a year that we weren't paying them enough. So, look, I tell that story to people of my generation, a lot of people who revered, young people who revered the older age of baseball, and they're kind of awed. And but if I say that to young kids, and I work with kids a lot, the standard answer seems to be, what a chump. And that's why I think we need to remember Al Kaline.
Tom Selleck here on the Will Kane Show, remembering the late Detroit Tiger legend Al Kaline. Tom, you talked about you loved his modesty. I would add, I suspect, there's another element to this as well, and that's loyalty. I'm from Dallas. I was born and raised outside of Dallas, and one of the reasons I love Dirk Nowitzki is not just that he brought a championship to the Dallas Mavericks, but he was with that franchise for two decades and never left. Yeah. Al Kaline was with the Tigers for 22 years, and that was just his playing days. It was another... what was it, 19, I believe, in the front office, another 25 in the broadcast booth. He truly is, as his name has been, Mr. Tiger. And that's got to be something that makes you feel this emotion as well.
Well, he is. It means something to me. I mean, when I started Magnum, I knew he was, because he was in the Navy, he was a baseball cap kind of guy. And one of the caps he wore, or the one he wore most often, I decided to give him a Detroit cap. In 1980, the Tigers needed a lot of help. But it became, I'm proud to say, for a while, the best-selling cap in all the major league caps. And, of course, 84 was just a dream year for me. And Trammell and Whitaker did a little guest spot on Magnum. I told them at the time, I said, boy, watching you guys work as actors, all I can say is I smell Emmy. which may not have been the case. But
You said
I just love the Tigers. I love baseball. I've been reading a lot of, you know, when you read the players of his era, and even after, their evaluation of him, not just for the class he displayed, but for his ability, which almost was taken for granted. I mean, 10 gold gloves. And, I remember seeing something. We'd only get baseball in L.A. in the early days, you know, on the game of the week. It wasn't a common thing. So, but I remember one time seeing him go after a ball down the line in right field, and it looked like he was just kind of casually loping over there until he hit about the waist-high wall for the seats in right field, and you realized how fast he was going. And, of course, he made the catch. He just was a great all-around ball player, probably a little taken for granted. It's kind of like, in some ways, I got to know Frank Robinson. Frank was these guys didn't have to I know it's a different era, and I'm not necessarily criticizing anybody, but a little humility. I learned that in the acting business. I didn't know how to work till I was 35. Magnum was my regular job. And we aren't curing cancer, you know. And people are watching, especially the kids. And I don't want to see little leaguers like they're doing, flipping their bats and demonstrating and making it all about them. And what is, after all, a team game. And certainly Al Kaline recognized that.
What modern-day athletes would you say exhibit those same qualities that you've noticed?
Not too many. I wouldn't want to single anybody out anyway. It's a different era. The money's crazy, the ones I don't appreciate are the ones that get rewarded for bad behavior, and they're the ones who get the exposure. It may have been the same with an Al Kaline, but everybody was part of that code in those days. That code has been reduced. There are a lot of players who play by a code that they respect. I've always believed in all sports that when you trivialize your opponent or demean your opponent, you trivialize your accomplishment. And there's so much of that. It always comes at somebody's expense. Baseball had their own cure for it. You know, you showed somebody up, you're probably going to pay for it. One way or the other. And, I know everybody says, well, everybody's careers are worth so much money and everything else. That's all fine. Just don't show anybody up.
Tom Selleck here on the Will Cain Show.
I'm just an old fan, as you can tell, but... old days, I would like to see baseball not lose.
Well, I would suggest you probably displayed some of the same modesty you revere in Al Kaline. I know, for example, that you mentioned that at-bat Sparky Anderson gave you. He pulled you out when Rob Dibble took the mound, put you back on a little bit later, and you were very proud to foul off four balls.
Well, he told me the worst part of it was he said to me before the game, it was a night game, and they were world champs, Cincinnati. He said, you're not going to really know what this is like. I'm going to get you an at bat. They're probably going to find me, but what can they do? And he said, I'm going to pinch hit you in the seventh inning. So I'm just sweating bullets on the bench for seven innings. I'm sitting, I think, next to Dave Bergman most of the time. Obviously checked. He didn't want to show anybody up. He had obviously checked. He told me later he checked with Lou Piniella and everything else, and said it's okay. Just I don't want to trivialize. Just don't put him in against my closer. But I didn't know that. So in the seventh inning, Dibble comes in, and Rob Dibble, who I got to know later in a couple of interviews, I mean, he grunted when he warmed up. He was throwing 95 miles an hour. And Sparky doesn't even look at me. He just walks casually by me, sweating bullets, and he says, I'm going to wait an inning. So it might be, yeah, my brush with greatness is I fouled off about four pitches in my at bat. The Tiger bullpen was rooting for me, and they thought it was it was cold because the pitcher had to strike me out on a knuckle curve. the pitcher trying to make the club does not want some goofy actor plucking out and getting a hit. But it was fun to look at the box score, even though it was 0-1, and just a dream, really, for a kid who wasn't going to get there any other way.
Well, you played basketball at USC. In fact, you're a man of many varied interests, from basketball to volleyball to firearms and outdoors to ice hockey. Is that just a lifetime's collection of diverse interests? I mean, those are not necessarily ones that fit any particular stereotype. You're all over the board, Tom.
I don't think they do. SC was interesting. I mean, I played baseball all my life, and I think at a certain age, around 14 or so, I was kind of 15. I was a little burned out from Little League and Babe Ruth, and I was playing basketball. And I was always small. I was only 6'1" as a senior in high school because I was part of my senior year. I was 16, so basically, I grew and I started playing in junior college for 2 years because I was. My parents couldn't afford to send me to SC, and they weren't exactly clamoring at the door. I started at Valley College. So what happened? I go to SC, and, you know, the inevitable that happens to even our best athletes, basically I rode the pine at SC, although I do hold the shooting percentage record at the University of Southern California.
You met the minimum field goal attempts?
Yeah. Field goal.
That's great. That's great. I thought there was a catch to that story.
In
for
two
a second.
Years? In two years, 2-for-2.
Oh, there it is. I knew it.
Well, it's true. I was 2-for-2. So I rode the pine. But we started volleyball at SC. And when I went to Hawaii to do Magnum, I picked the game back up. I had always played a lot of softball, really competitive, slow pitch softball, all sorts of stuff. But just I played a lot of sports, so, and that's all I did because I certainly wouldn't want to top my academic career. Don't look up my transcripts at SC. So I just wasn't motivated, but I just love sports and I love to compete, and I was pretty intense in the way I competed. And, it was always my life. I wanted to be a professional baseball player, probably a fireman when I was about 3, and then a professional baseball player from then on. So to have a little crack at it and to play long toss with your, he's not my boyhood idol. He is still in sports the guy for me.
That's awesome. It really is. Lifelong Detroit Tiger fan, Mr. Tiger, got to play long ball with him, meet him. And I really appreciate you sharing with us your experience and your thoughts on Alkaline today, Tom. It's a real pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, I hope I didn't talk too much, but it's nice talking about Al.
Well, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You bet.